Today is taken from Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You may be seated.
I remember the conversation just like it was yesterday. A trusted pastor friend of mine could see that I was struggling with going through all the necessary hoops in becoming a pastor. I had completely surrendered to my life to Christ at Bible school. I attended a great Bible college where I majored in Bible, took 2 years of Greek. Following that, I had been a youth director for 3 years. During that time, I attended the denominational seminary for 2 quarters just to see if it was a good fit, a good place for me to serve in ministry in the future. And I came to the decision, if that was seminary, I didn't need it and I didn't want it. It wasn't a covenant, by the way. And as a result, I developed a spiritual chip on my shoulder, thinking that all seminaries are cemeteries. Ha, 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 ha. And you hear that sometimes. That I didn't need to be trained. I'd already had all the training I needed. But then I was out there trying to find a church to pastor without a church family, without credentials, and without success. And I have to admit, it was very frustrating. And so my pastor friend sat me down and he painted a word picture. He said, Dan, I want you to picture a beach. And he said, there's a lot of people on this beach, a lot of needy people in need of ministry on the beach. But there's a fence. And you're on this side of that fence, and they're on that side of that fence, and you can't get to them. However, there's a gate. But to get through the gate, you need a ticket. He said, that ticket is your seminary degree. And that was a time in my life when I needed to hear the voice of experience. I followed his advice. I went for my seminary training. Not only did I go to a good seminary, but I discovered the covenant and resulted in becoming a covenant pastor. Wise counsel. Have you ever needed to hear the voice of experience? Maybe it had to do with some conflict in your life. Maybe it had to do with education or marriage or raising kids. I don't know what it was. But from time to time, we all need to humble ourselves and listen to the voice of experience. People who know more than we do, people who have been there and done that. And like I said earlier, we don't have to make all the mistakes ourselves. We can learn from some people who have made those mistakes and they share their wisdom with us. Well, in Psalm 37, our psalm for today, an older and wiser King David gives us that voice of experience. Psalm 37, an interesting psalm because it's a psalm of contrasts. As we have read and heard read part of Psalm 37 this morning, maybe you have seen how David really shows the contrast between the lives of those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. His voice of experience or word of advice is this: don't spend all your energy complaining about or envying the wicked. Stop worrying and fretting about how the wicked are living, even thriving, with their cheating, their lying, their immorality, even their disregard for God. David said, stop worrying about the wicked. Their day is coming. God will deal with them. But you don't get sucked into or distracted by evil. Focus on God and His amazing plan for your life, which will endure evil days and will last for eternity. Live life in response to God, not in response to a horrible and hate-filled world. I think that's a good word for us today, because it's really easy to get sucked into the bad stuff. It's really easy to get sucked into that, and we get in that negative frame of mind, and that's all that we become. It's like the world is coming to an end, and everybody's our enemy, and we end up not being in a place where we should be. So I think when David says, live life in response to God, we need to hear that today. So I hope you have your Bibles open to Psalm 37, and you can use the sermon outline in your bulletin. Let's look at three important actions that we as believers need to take. These are simple actions, but I believe they're powerful to transform our lives. The first one is this: depend. Depend. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and enjoy safe pasture. Webster defines depend as to exist by virtue of a necessary relation, to place reliance or trust. To depend basically is to trust. If we trust someone, we depend on them to come through for us. We rely on their character, their friendship, their faithfulness. Now, this, of course, presumes a close relationship between us and the other person. But in the context of Psalm 37, we're trusting God to do good, no matter how much evil we may encounter in this life and how prosperous the wicked seem to be, often at our expense. We can trust the Lord to work it all out and to take care of us in the process. Romans 8:28, I know, has become a favorite verse for a lot of us, but it's really a good one. Let's say that together. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You could circle the word know, and you could also circle all things. You see, our God is dependable. It sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But simple doesn't mean easy. I'm certain that there have been times in your life when you hoped that somehow God had everything under control, because it really didn't feel like it, or you didn't look like it to you. It looked like it was going south. It was going the other direction. And so to say these words was like a huge step of faith. Well, Job felt that way, and we can see it in his heart cry. He said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Now, that's trust. That's saying, no matter what I see or feel, yet I will hope in him. No matter what I see or feel, I will put my hope in him. Now, unfortunately, we're not always that trusting. I remember a number of years ago, when I was pastoring out in California, we had met a young man who became a good friend of my older son, and he almost kind of became part of our family. So when we moved back to Minnesota, that first Christmas, we'll call him Jeff, we invited him to come for Christmas. And so Jeff said, that's great, he'd love to come. The only issue that Jeff had is he had never, ever flown on a plane before. And he was deathly afraid of planes. So he flew, and we, of course, were kind of like, okay, Jeff, you know, we were really wondering, how did it go? And so we asked him, just as soon as we could, so how was your flight? Well, said Jeff, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. But I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down on that seat. You see, every day we have a choice. Will we depend on ourselves? Are we going to depend on God? If we're only depending on our own abilities and resources, we're going to live defensively. We're going to always be afraid of somebody taking advantage of us, something bad happening to us. We're always going to feel a draft at our back. We're going to be always looking over our shoulder. And so let me ask you, is that the way you want to live? Because I don't. However, if we're trusting in the Lord, if He is the person upon whom we are depending, then that allows us to put our full weight down, to venture out, to take steps of faith, to not be afraid, to follow where Jesus leads us, to be bold and confident. My friends, we can fully trust in the character of our God. He alone is completely trustworthy and dependable. He is the self-existent one. He doesn't need anybody else, but He's chosen to include us in His life. He's the self-sufficient one. He's eternal, infinite, unchanging, all-knowing, wise, all-powerful, omnipresent, faithful, good, just, merciful, gracious, loving, holy, and He's the sovereign Lord. You see, He's the one on whom we depend. Now notice again in verse 3, I kind of paraphrase it this way. Fully depend on the Lord and actively do good. Live in the land and enjoy security and abundant provision. Proverbs 3 also talks about that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You know, we do need to be aware of the evil around us. I know that. But let me just say this. Within reason, a defensive posture of worry isn't going to solve anything. It only immobilizes us with fear, and it prevents us from making a positive difference with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? We live in a crazy world. We live in a very sinful world, a broken world. It has been that way ever since Genesis 3, by the way. So I'm not sure it's any different than it was back then. But if our total focus is on the evil and on the bad, and that's what we feed off of all the time, as opposed to our focus being on God's word and on His character, who He is, His plan for our lives, we're going in the wrong direction. And we're going to preach a message of bad news as opposed to a message of good news. It's time for us to stop living with the attitude of not putting all our weight down, and instead fully put your trust in God and enjoy the ride. I don't know if Jeff enjoys plane rides now. I do. It's just a nice way to travel. There's another word that comes out of this text for me. It's delight. Delight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The Hebrew word there is to be of dainty habit, to take exquisite delight. The dictionary says to take great pleasure, to give keen enjoyment. There is a feminine aspect to this word. It's an excitable word. It's an emotional word. Let me put it this way. I've noticed over the years that when my wife wants an emotionally supportive response, she calls a girlfriend. She's told me this. Now, Faith could tell me a story or a situation or an event. We talk about all of these things that are going on in our lives, and she would be guaranteed a dependable, supportive response. But if she wants an empathetic response, she will call somebody of the female persuasion. Now, I don't mean that as a sexist comment. It could simply be because I'm Norwegian. I'm not sure. But there's a big difference between dependable and delightful. Both words are important. Both ideas are essential. But delightful is a word that is special, it's personal, even emotional. Let me tell you a story, true story. I remember a conversation my wife had with our oldest son some years ago. We had traveled down to see him in pilot training. He was in the Air Force. And just had a great visit. And one day, as we were just talking together, Aaron had mentioned that his girlfriend had visited him. They had gotten to know each other at the academy. And we liked her. I mean, she was fun. She was easy to be around. But Faith just noticed something, that she didn't think that Aaron delighted in her. That there was that chemistry that could have been or should have been there. And so when Aaron just happened to drop the comment that when his girlfriend visited, and he was busy flying, of course, so he had one of his friends take her back to the airport, which happened to be 90 miles away. Faith just said, "You know, Aaron, when your dad and I were dating, he would have taken me back to the airport, no matter where that airport was." Now, she didn't badger him. She didn't preach at him. She didn't scold him or anything like that. She was just the voice of experience that Aaron needed to hear. I don't know that he was particularly grateful for those words at that point, but he knew his mom loved him and he listened. And so he reflected on her words, and so we went back home. But he realized she was right. And in a couple weeks, he broke off his relationship with that girl, which is a really good thing. Because 6 months later, he met our beautiful daughter-in-law. And it was obvious from the beginning that they delighted in each other. And how did we know that? He called us. And he said, "Mom, I just want you to know, I took Tiffany back to the airport." And at that point, we knew they delighted in each other, and we thought, something is going to come up here real fast, and it did. I think it's interesting that the scripture uses the word delight as our response to God. Delight. Job asked the question, will the godless delight in the Almighty? No. They find delight in sin and rebellion against God. However, God's people are noted for their enthusiastic and ecstatic response to Him. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism, where people wear their emotions or their feelings on their sleeves. However, I am talking about a genuine, wholehearted response to a God who transcends our understanding and overwhelms our hearts. It captures our desires, our thinking, our feelings. Yes, God captures our feelings. He gave them to us in the first place. The Lord captures us. And that's always been God's plan for His people. No ho-hum religion. No half-hearted following of God. By the way, it's a command. It said, delight yourself in the Lord. It requires action and obedience. Delighting ourselves in the Lord can only happen, though, when we are spending time with Him, interacting with His Word, worshiping Him every week with God's people, worshiping Him every day in our quiet time. And notice the results of delighting in him. Verse 4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Did you hear that? Are we talking about a blank check from God? Can we have whatever we want? It depends. Are you delighting in God or other gods with a small g? Are you delighting in God's plans or your plans? You see, the more time we spend actively loving God and seeking to accomplish His will for our lives, the more freedom then that God has in showering His blessings on us. That's because we will desire what He desires for our lives. And when our will lines up with God's will, God can be counted on to give you the desires of your heart. And that's a very good place to be with God. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. When we delight in the Lord, He delights in pouring out His blessings upon us. So let me ask a question. How about you? How are you doing in the delight department? Would you say that you delight in God? Honestly? And if not, why not? Every once in a while, as God's people, we need to do a gut check. It's not just that we don't know something or that we believe something, but maybe today your prayer and my prayer is, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You see, that's what makes Christianity fun. And by the way, that's what makes Christianity winsome. When we are in love with God and we know that God loves us, it shows. We can't hide it. And people look at us and whatever we got, they want. Isn't that what God wants us to be like? There's one more word here that I take out of this text, though. Thirdly, determine. Determine. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Commit or determine is that strategy that makes sure that we follow through with our need to depend on the Lord, that we follow through with our desire to delight in Him. Now, the truth is, most of us here, we're people of good intentions. I mean, we mean well. It's not like we're looking to do bad things. We start well, but we soon fade. You see, we want to lose weight, so we start exercising and dieting for a week. We want to start getting enough sleep, so we get to bed on time for a week. We want to spend quality time with God early in the morning, and it's great for that 1 week. But before you know it, there we are, right back to our old habits. And the trouble is, we can all do that. We can all be moved in tremendous ways, and before you know it, those good intentions just go by the wayside. The word determine says that we mean business with God. It speaks of resolve and action. It speaks of follow through. It's a word that has teeth in it. Webster defines determine as to fix conclusively or authoritatively, to settle or decide by choice of alternatives or possibilities, resolve to come to a decision, to make a commitment. So how determined are we to really depend on God and not try to live life on our own terms? How determined are we to take the time and make the effort to actually delight in God, to be fully alive in God in our everyday lives and witness? So many of us only give God our leftovers. Leftover time, leftover money, leftover energy, and we wonder why God feels so far away. We wonder why God doesn't seem to be using us to impact the people around us with the good news of Jesus. Commit means to roll your burdens onto the Lord. Proverbs says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. That's awesome. It says, as we commit every part of our lives to His direction, God will bless us with success and will use us for His glory. Commitment is the way of blessing in the kingdom of God. I started this morning with a story. You know, there's no substitute for the voice of experience. For me, that meant a word of challenge from a friend. A word that I needed to hear that changed my life. It really did. For you, it'll be different. But for all of us today, it means to depend on the Lord, to put our full weight down. For all of us, it means to delight ourselves in the Lord. Not just settle for safe, not just settle for comfortable, not just settle for a casual friendship. Delight, love, respond to with great joy. And for all of us, it means to determine to do what God wants us to do and to follow through whether we feel like it or not. We are determined to bring glory to God. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, we come to you today, and we want our focus to be where it belongs. Not on the temptations of the world, not on the fears of the world. We want our focus to be on you today. Oh God, capture our hearts once again. Forgive us for being so distracted by the things around us that we can just let you go until it comes to some kind of emergency, and then we're back at it for the emergency and we're on with our lives again. But today, as we look at your word, we want to be people who trust in you with all of our hearts, who love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to do that. Help us to follow through. Help us to be consistent. Help us to love you as your kids. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.